So last Sunday, I had an experience that affected me deeply, and I've been thinking about it all week, and it fits in so well with this sermon, so I'm going to share it with you. I was driving on Prince of Wales. There's a corner where you can turn right to go into Walmart, or you can turn left to go to Superstore. Probably many of you are familiar with that corner. And I was in the left turning lane, going to turn left. There was a few cars in front of me. And there was an older man in the intersection. He had a walker, and he was wearing pajama pants. And he was about halfway into the turning lane. So, like, not where the border is, but, like, halfway into the lane. And the turning light came on, and he just stood there in the lane. And my first thought was, like, what's he doing? Why doesn't he get out of the way? But then I watched, and there was something else going on. And he just stood there. The light kept flashing that we could turn. None of us could turn. Somebody honked very gently, I have to say. It wasn't like one of those angry honks. It was just a, like, hey, the light's changed kind of honk. He still stood there. The light changed to green. So we just stayed where we were, and the line became longer behind us in the left turn lane. And we came, so we stood there, the light turned red. Okay, now he's going to cross the road, right? Maybe he was just waiting for a little bit more time because he couldn't move very fast. Nope, he just stood there again, did not move, was frozen in place. So we go through the red light, the turning signal comes on again, he's still standing there. Few cars come through on the green light. One car pulls over. So one car coming towards me pulls over. The driver gets out of his car, and he goes and he walks at the light changes again when it's red and safe for him to cross. He goes over beside the man, and he just looks at him. I don't think he even touched him, but he walked that man across the street. He helped him get past whatever was paralyzing him from getting across the street. And I just thought, that is what God wants us to do. It wasn't even stopping him. Like, he was coming the other way. He could have kept going home. The rest of us were not going to be turning anywhere anytime soon. So there was nothing in it for him. He didn't have video cameras on the corner, you know, videotaping him so he could post on Instagram how great of a person he was and what good deeds. There are people that do that, and I am glad that people do good deeds. But, like, this was not part of that. It was simply the right thing to do. This man needed help for whatever reason, couldn't cross the street, and this driver got out and helped him. And if you remember nothing else from today, I just think that that is a great picture of who Jesus is calling us to be. Now, the context of our passage that Carol read for us was just before this, the religious leaders had been trying to trap Jesus. So Jesus was talking to the crowds, and the religious leaders kept coming and asking him questions, trying to get him to say the wrong thing so they could get him in trouble or have him arrested. But Jesus was wise, and he listened to his heavenly Father, and he didn't get tripped up by what they had to say. And so I don't know if the religious leaders had moved on by then, or it was just another time, but now Jesus is talking to the crowds and to the disciples. And he didn't say anything directly to the Pharisees about how much he didn't appreciate them when they were bothering him, but now he is going to say something. And so he kind of says three things. He says, don't be like these people. Don't be like the religious leaders, because they preach, but they don't practice. They lay burdens on people, and they won't help them at all. And they may look good, but they don't actually do good. So we today are looking at this passage partly to think about, okay, who do we follow? Do we follow people who are leaders who do what they say, or who just sound really good and then go off and do whatever they want? I think we've all had experiences with people like that. But also, how do we be good leaders? So we are leaders in our communities, in our homes, in our jobs. Wherever we go, we bring Jesus to those groups. And so people are looking at us, And we don't need to wear a hat that says spiritual gangster on it, but we do need to act in a way that will bring glory to God and that will be in keeping with who Jesus taught us to be. Now, I think the first thing to note is that Jesus once again shows that he does have respect for authority. Because there is a bit of a tendency, I think, in our culture right now to just be like, we don't need to listen to anybody because they are ridiculous or saying the wrong things. But Jesus starts by saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do what they teach you. So the first thing we're looking at is, are they teaching from the scripture? Then you need to listen to the scripture. But then, if their actions don't follow the scripture, we don't keep following them. We choose to do what the scripture tells us. We choose to be who God asks us to be. Our words and our actions should match. Now, the next part talks about laying burdens that are hard to bear on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. That's a pretty strong statement, right? So in actually the next, the rest of the chapter, later on in chapter 23, Jesus goes on to explain some of those things that they were doing. And I'm not going to go through them all, but I'm going to give you one example. So in chapter 23, verse 16 is where I'm going to start. So there was this idea that you would swear by something in order to show that you really, really meant it. Okay, so like in our courts, we swear on a Bible or a religious text or an eagle feather to show we are telling the truth. We swear we will tell the truth and we swear on these important things. Well, the Pharisees had made this even more difficult for them, or trickier, maybe just to be able to get out of your oath. There was ways that you could do that, which again, is not showing integrity. So what he said, Jesus says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the sanctuary is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by the oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold of the sanctuary, the gold or the sanctuary that has made the gold sacred? And you say, whoever swears by the altar is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gift on the altar is bound by the oath." These are, you know, just making it difficult for people, right? So now sometimes maybe the Pharisees even could make an oath and, oh, well, I was just kidding. You ever had people say that to you? They say something and then they're like, just kidding. That's almost what that sounds like to me, right? I'll swear on this, but really I didn't swear on the right thing, so I don't have to follow it. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount earlier in Matthew, don't swear by anything. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. What a different leader Jesus was to these scribes and Pharisees, to the religious leaders that he saw. Jesus knew that life was hard and that following God's way was not going to be easy. But instead of making it difficult to follow, he said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus has promised to be by our side and to help us. And when he left the earth, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. And now he's sending the rain for our parched earth. The next part they talked about was them looking good. They're looking good, but not doing good. They do their good deeds to be seen by others. So it was a matter of pride. It was a matter of like, look at me. I am so good. I have a very long phylactery on my arm and a big box on my head when I pray. And therefore, I am a better Christian than the rest of you. Or not Christian, Jew, sorry. A better Jew than the rest of you. And Jesus was saying, it doesn't matter. We know this back from the book of Samuel. God says, I don't judge by your appearance, but I judge by your heart. And so Jesus was telling us that it matters not what we wear, but it matters what we do. Now, not only did the religious leaders attract attention with their dress, but they expected to be given attention wherever they went. They were given seats of honor. They expected to have the seat of honor at the banquets or the synagogues. They expected to be greeted in the streets with respect. And often they would be. And there is something about a leader that those things do come with, right? If you're the boss, when you come into the room, people put down what they're doing and look at you and listen because you have a place of importance. And so it can be tempting for leaders to really like that, right? And then what if there's somebody in the office who's like really in the middle of something and doesn't see you come in, and then they get really angry because you didn't lift your eyes up to them and pay attention. Jesus is saying these leaders loved their attention, the position gave them, more than the one who gave them the position. Do we love the attention that we get more than the one who gave us everything that brings us attention? Do you remember last week, Addie reminded us of Jesus' words that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. Not love ourself above God or above our neighbor, but to love them more. Verses 8 to 10 are a reminder of our place. God is the only true one who needs to be honored. God is the rabbi. We are the students. God is our heavenly Father, the Father of all human beings, the beginning of everything. God is our instructor. So if someone says or does something that opposes God, we defer to God, because God is the only one worthy of our attention and praise, and our focus should be on God first. Later on in the chapter, in verse 23, Jesus says, at the end when he's talking about swearing by the different things and how ridiculous that was, he says, "For you have tithed mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others." So it's not that the laws are bad, but the laws need to be practiced and put into our everyday life. And those things need to be filled with justice, mercy, and faithfulness. I think everything we've heard today, I mean, Jesus, we're getting near the end of Matthew, so obviously we're getting near the end of Jesus' life. And Jesus really wants to bring home some of these ideas that he's been talking about all the time on earth, and really before that, all throughout the Bible. And so he ends with the final statement, "The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." These statements are actually, these verses are repeated 3 times in the Gospel and dozens of times in the Old and the New Testament. Jesus isn't telling them anything new. He's reminding them of a core belief of those who follow God, that we are to be servants of each other. We're not above each other, as we heard before. We are brothers and sisters. We are equals. We are all part of the priesthood of believers. Only God is above us. And so we need to serve each other. And Jesus was the ultimate example of a servant. In Philippians 2, I think many of you will be familiar with this passage, but I think it deserves a reading. Philippians 2, we learn about how Jesus was the example of this. Jesus did not act like the Pharisees and scribes. He took his own words. He did what they said to do, but he did not act like them. Instead, he said, "Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born into human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So if Jesus, the one we worship, was willing to be the ultimate servant, and we are to follow his example, that is what we need to do. Think, in conclusion, genuine authority flows through humility and service, not through self-promotion and control. And we certainly can see both of those examples of leadership in the world. But as Christians, we are called to be humble and to serve others. And I was thinking about what can be an antidote to pride. And often we might think, well, I'm not that proud. But I think pride does sneak into our lives once in a while, right? I know that in my life when I get annoyed because somebody isn't as friendly as I think they should be to me that day. Or, you know, I don't get the service that I think that I deserve. And so I was thinking that the antidote to pride is gratefulness. Over and over in scriptures, God calls us to give thanks, for everything. I think it's very difficult, if not impossible, if you're truly giving thanks, to be thankful for all of the people who are around you, to be thankful for what God has given you, to be thankful for what Jesus did for us on the cross, and not to be humble. It's really hard to be full of pride if you are recognizing all the things in life that have been given to us and through nothing that we have done. And so I think it is a very good thing for us to give thanks in all things, in every circumstance. It is always a good thing. And I have to tell you, being on staff at this church, I really am thankful for my coworkers. My colleagues show humbleness all the time. Nobody has ever had a problem with going and picking up a plunger to get a toilet unplugged. You know, we've had to kill mice or catch bats, those things which are not necessarily the most exciting things. And yet, I haven't heard people complain, and I really appreciate the example that is set for me by those around me, that they're so willing to be in service to other people. I really, really appreciate that. And we are not perfect in any way. But I think that that is something that is encouraged here. And I see that not only carrying on to the church, because every person in this church gives back in some way. Whether you help with the children, or you help with a time for friends, or you usher at the back, or you help with sound, or you teach a class. Like, there's just so many ways that people in this congregation serve each other. And so I would encourage all of us to keep serving each other, and also to think of ways that we can serve our community outside of the church, our neighbors, our coworkers, our families. Sometimes the families and coworkers can be the hardest ones because they get on our nerves. But God didn't say be a servant only to the people you like, right? In fact, last week downstairs we were talking about the Good Samaritan, and God asks us to show love to everybody, especially our enemies. So let's continue to think of ways that we can be a servant, a humble servant, in every part of our life.